Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
I encountered him once before, about 5 years ago, and I will never forget what he did. I can't explain what I felt, but all I know is he changed my life forever. See, you think you're prepared for him. You think you know what it will be like, but you have no idea. See, he's coming for you, all of you, and when he shows up, bam, things will change forever. You and this whole town here will never be the same.
I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit being our helper. I really felt impressed this week. Actually, I've been preparing for it for a number of weeks, but I knew I was right on it this week, especially when I came into church today. I preached this last night, and I'm going to preach it again, but I think it's going to come out a little different because I didn't realize in preparing, sometimes you just put things together hoping the Lord's in it, and you know he is, and you know, you submit your plans to the Lord, but I could sense when I walked in today, and I could sense in worship, the tremendous need that the people of God have for the help of the helper. Amen. He's been a theology to us, and we're aware of the existence of the Holy Spirit, and we know he's even important. But today is not about the doctrine of the helper. Today is about us doing what Pastor Ken said, even after worship, and applying the knowledge of that. You are not meant to do Christianity on your own. You're not meant to take the devil on your own. You're not meant to take sin on your own. I don't know what oppression you're walking in that's been dragging you down. You could see it in some of you, even during communion. There's just this oppression. And I just believe today is to encourage you that you are not in this fight alone. You are not in this walk alone. And even if you've fallen, you're not here. God does not look at you to get yourself back up alone. The helper's here to help. Amen. And it's time for us to lean in on this promise of the Father of this great help that's being offered to us. When I was a kid and I learned about the Holy Spirit coming into my life, I didn't exactly know what that was going to look like. And as a kid, you know, you hear about the power of the Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament, and you hear the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And so you have all this idea of power, power, power. And when I was a kid growing up in Southern California, maybe that's why I'm a little off. Some people are like, I knew there was something funny about that guy. I was growing up in Southern California. My mom and dad brought us to a little Assembly of God church in Corona, Riverside, California. It's called Lighthouse Assemblies of God. And my mom was the choir director there. And while she was leading choir practice, I used to go out in front of the church building because it was up on a hill, and it looked down into a valley where all these families and homes were. And I had the call of God in my life. I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. I was about 11 years old. And while mom was in there leading the choir, I would go out front and I would preach about Jesus to all of those thousands of people. And I would preach my heart out, and I knew they were getting saved. Now, I never saw it, but I knew all of them were getting saved. I mean, a couple bunny rabbits got saved running by, and I think there was a couple squirrels that fell out under the power while I was preaching. I mean, it was pretty powerful up there. But I remember as a kid growing up, because my idea of the help and my idea of power, I still had in my mind the concept of superheroes and Jedis. Because that's, as a little boy, that's what power looked like. You know, the Incredible Hulk, Superman, all these different superheroes. You know, I had my whole drawer full of my favorite underoos. Come on, can I get a witness, anybody? Thank you. If you don't know what underoos are, I'm not going to describe it to you at this point. It's for those of us that are in the know. And like I said, Jedi and all that stuff, because I used to love how, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi would be like, these are not the droids you're looking for. These are not the droids you're looking for. And they would just kind of like have power like that, you know. You are all going to tithe. You are all going to tithe. Anyways, sorry, maybe I still have a problem with some of those things. But as a kid growing up, I kind of had the idea, maybe when the Holy Spirit came in, I would turn into this superhero, this Jedi-like superpower, and I didn't really understand what the help of the helper was going to look like. I didn't really understand what the power was going to look like. But now as I've gotten older and I've walked with God, I kind of understand something, that you remain every bit human. You're still breakable. You're still vulnerable. You can still be hurt. You can still get sick. You can still have a bad day. You're still you, but your you with him. You don't turn into a superhero, but you're connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You don't need to be a Jedi because you have the power of God to raise Christ from the dead. He dwells in you. And so there's this weird dynamic of you're still you, and you can still be hurt, and you can still be disappointed, and you're still walking through stuff, but yet you're still connected to the Almighty God. Now, how is that going to happen, and what is that going to look like? That's what I want to talk to you about today, as the Holy Spirit is our helper. John chapter 16, have you found it? Good, that means your Bible's not broken. John chapter 16, let's look at verse 7. Jesus speaking about the coming of the helper. He says this, I, Jesus, tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And I just remind you again, I said this a few weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit comes from Jesus. And when he comes, he's going to convict the world of concerning sin and of righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, he will take of what is mine, and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take what is mine, and he's going to disclose it unto you. So here Jesus tells us that it's better for us that he leave, because if he leaves, he's going to send us the help of the Holy Spirit. He's going to send us the helper. Now, you think to yourself, he's talking to the disciples here, and in their mind, they might not quite get it. How could not having Jesus personally, physically with us be better than having Jesus personally, physically with us? But Jesus was telling them that when I leave, I'm going to send to you the helper, and he's going to guide you in all truth. And I love this part that Jesus said. This is just a little side thought. Jesus says that there's lots of things that I would love to tell you right now and disclose to you right now, but you can't handle it. You can't handle the truth. Anyway, he says you can't handle it right now. He says, but once you receive the Holy Spirit, he's going to be able to teach you all truth. What does that tell me about me? That tells me that when the Holy Spirit comes in my life, my capacity to understand the things of God and operate the things of God increases. So you genuinely change when you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? But I also want us to think about this. How many times in our current situation, in our crisis, in our problems, we think to ourselves, man, if only Jesus was right here in this problem with me. And yet, according to what Jesus just said, he says, even though I'm not physically there, my spirit is there, and that's actually greater than if I was physically, personally there in that problem with you right then. See, you have the promise that Jesus made in your life to help you in your time of need. And sometimes we're wishing, only Lord, if you would just come down in this moment. But he's saying you have the Holy Spirit. You have more than you realize in the helper that I've sent you. And I want to remind us today about the helper in our lives, because I think we don't take enough thought, or we don't receive enough from the help that the helper is offering us. Let's keep going. Verse 7 from the Amplified Bible. Amplified takes that same verse and kind of expounds on it. It says this, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage, Jesus speaking, and this is the same verse just in the Amplified Bible, that I go away. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, and then the Amplified Bible expounds the word helper, which is what I want us to define right now. The helper, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you in close fellowship with you. So now we start to hear and kind of put some meat on the bones of what it means to have a helper. He's a strengthener. How many of you need strength? Anybody need strength? Now you understand that the strength being offered is the strength of God. It is not just more of human strength. It's strength that you could not tap into on your own. That's why I can't make it on my own. Paul, many times when he was preaching the gospel all over the world, and he used to say, I had superhuman energy to do the mission. There's times we need to reach into a strength that is not of this world. You are going through crisis. Your business is falling apart. You've lost your job. Your spouse died and went to heaven early. I don't know what might have happened, but there's not human strength left in you. But you don't have to live this life on your own. There's the help of the helper who attaches us to the strength and the might of God. The advocate, someone standing on your behalf, helping you fight the battles for you, defending you, amen. Your counselor. How many times are we confused and we don't know where to go, we don't know what to do? But you have the access to the very mind and thoughts of God in the counsel of the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into that a little bit today. I just want to help you unpack who is with you and where in your life, this is today's question, where in your life are we sitting and taking advantage of the help being offered to us? Because one thing for all of us, say amen. Amen. There's help there. Hallelujah. I haven't brought my hanky. But it's another thing to actually sit in the presence of the Holy Spirit and say, talk to me. Give me counsel. It's another thing to sit in worship and to say, pour strength into me because I can't go on my own. And you let the strength of God pour into you and you walk out of here with joy. You know it's not joy that you created, it's joy that was deposited in you. Are you understanding that? But so many times we know more than we practice. We know more than we lay hold of. And we all know we have the help of the helper, but you realize the helper we have is the one that formed the world. And how often are we talking to him? How often are we drawing from him? How often are we working for God and not working with God? And we're depleted and we're drained. We're wondering why Christianity is so dry and we're so dry and why are we so tired? And so many times it's because we're trying to do it on our own. Because you can serve religion on your own. But you can't do what Jesus had in his mind when he wanted to bring a body of believers together and create a family. He never intended Christianity to be on your shoulders. He always intended it to be on his shoulders. He never intended your life and your journey and your battles to be your battles. He meant them to be together, his battles and your battles, not your battles. John chapter 15, let's keep going. Interesting passage of scripture. Now, one thing the Holy Spirit did in coming and why Jesus was not worried about leaving the disciples was the Holy Spirit actually, when he came, he took over where Jesus left off in the lives of the disciples. He was going to continue to disciple them. See, because the Holy Spirit mentors us, teaches us, guides us into all truth, correct? That's what he said. And what was Jesus doing to the disciples? He was teaching them about the kingdom. He was guiding them into all truth. And then Jesus was mentoring them on how to operate in the power of God. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to continue that work of the power of God and operating in the power of God. He was going to help them grow up in their identity as disciples and as apostles and the calling of God on their life. Well, the Holy Spirit carries on that work. You realize the Holy Spirit is carrying on the work of the Lord. Are we understanding this? All right, three of you. Okay, well, help us, Holy Spirit. Thank you. No, please hear me because I'm going to swap out a word here in John chapter 15, but I want you to understand why. The Holy Spirit is taking the place of the physical Jesus in the life of the disciples. And you see now, when the disciples would spread out in the future to go evangelize, Jesus, the man in flesh, God in flesh, he was not going to be able to be omnipresent, right? Because he would have been in the flesh. But now the Holy Spirit represents all that Jesus is and can go with them wherever they go as they multiply across the earth. Are you now understanding that? The Holy Spirit is carrying on the work of Jesus. So I go backwards now one chapter to John chapter 15, and I want to re-talk to you about a verse that's very familiar, Jesus speaking. He says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Now I'm going to swap out the idea of Jesus as the vine there to being the Holy Spirit. And I believe I can do that theologically. I think it's accurate. If we don't abide in the person of the Spirit, if we don't utilize the help of the helper, if we don't stay in connection or communication with the helper, if we don't do life with the Holy Spirit, our life is fruitless. You can have a whole lot of activity. See, that verse is kind of troubling in a human way of thinking because we like to say amen in church because we know we're supposed to say amen in church. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Is that true? Think about it. Well, I got dressed today. I went and received a degree. I've built a company. There's a lot of people out in this world that can say they've done things without abiding in the vine. Are you understanding that? Just want to make sure we're following on the same line of thinking. They could say, I built a company, I've received an education, I've amassed a great wealth, and I didn't do any of it with God. Well, first of all, I want to say you wouldn't even be here without God, and you wouldn't have breath in your lungs without God, but that's a whole other conversation for another day. But I believe there's something in this that we need to connect to, and that is that we can be busy in activity, and if we do not bring the help of the Holy Spirit, if we do not bring the Spirit into what we're doing, if we just do it on our own, we can be busy producing things that are not genuinely fruitful in our lives. They're not what God would consider. See, because this is God talking, what God would consider to be fruitful. See, it's one thing to have your whole life presented before God at the end and it to burn up in a moment because, yeah, you amassed a lot of wealth, you amassed a lot of money or position or title, but it all burns up because it meant nothing. Years of your life, your time, your degrees, all of your relationships, all that influence that you had, apart from Jesus, it's all going to burn. You understand what I'm saying? It comes to nothing. But yet you could spend 80 years accomplishing nothing. Are you understanding that part? Well, so many times in our lives, I believe even as Christians, we try to do things for God or live Christianity. All this verse is trying to tell you is this. It is possible to do things without Jesus, but you don't do things that are eternal or things that are lasting or things that God is viewing as valuable if you do it without him. And truthfully, you can go through even Christianity and not talk to the Spirit of God very much. And not go ask for help and input and his strength and all that. And you could fight your way through life serving God without actually having God involved in your Christianity or in your life. And that is not going to produce the fruitful life that God knows is the value that you need to be living. So even though Jesus says you can't do anything without me, that's not really true. You can, but in God's mind, you're not doing anything of real value without me. That's why that song is so powerful, because unless we get to a place as Christians that we're completely dependent and we have this like first nature desire to bring the Spirit of God into our relationships, into our work, into our daily living, into our questions, into our marriage, into our raising of our children. God, I want what I do to matter. I want it to be fruitful. I want it to have eternity stamped on the inside of it. And so I want to do life with God. I want to be a husband with God involved. I want to be a father with God involved. I want to be a businessman with God involved because I want to live a life that brings real fruitful harvest. See, because you can do all of that without God, but it will all die in the end. And you're going to be tired. And you didn't. The other thing is you didn't have to do it that way. You didn't have to do it that way. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, Amplified Bible again. Even Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, you know, these are talented guys. He tells them, I'll read it to you real quickly, not to go do the ministry without the help of the helper. Verses 4 and 5, while being together and eating with them, he commanded them, Jesus commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which he said to you, you heard me speak, for John baptized you with water, but you'll be baptized and empowered and united with the Holy Spirit not long from now. Why would Jesus tell these men and women not to go into the world and start doing good things without the help of the helper? First of all, he knew that they could have. See, I like to think of things like deconstructing ideas. See, he had to pause them because he knew in their nature they might be like, all right, Jesus is alive. I know the message. I was there. I saw the parables. I heard the parables. I was there and the miracles happened. I see that he was resurrected. I'm going to go preach about all that. I'm going to go get people changed. I'm going to go do this. And Jesus knew that in their personal human talent, in their personal influence, they could go do some things, but without the help of the Holy Spirit, it would not last. It would not be fruitful unto eternity, and they would burn out in the process, and they would be completely limited into their own human strength in doing that ministry. And that's what we do in business sometimes. You know, yeah, we're talented, but you know that talent combined with the power of the helper and the help of the helper can do 20 times more than you could do with just your talent. And see, Jesus was telling them, hey, I know that you could be anxious about going. You're talented. You could probably do stuff on your own, but don't do it on your own. I didn't intend for you to do it on your own. Don't you go anywhere until you get the help of the helper, because if you add the help of the helper, what you do will be multiplied and go last unto eternity. But first you have to see that Jesus, the command in him telling them to stay, was knowing that they could have gone and missed the help of the helper. Are you understanding this? And so in some ways, I feel like Jesus right now. Like I'm looking at you saying, don't you leave this place now without being empowered by the helper. I know you can go out there and be busy. I know you can go out there and try to be a mom and try to be a dad and try to be a business person. I know that you could go out there with your degrees and your talents, but don't you leave this place without the help of the helper. Because when he comes, he's going to do so much more, and the fruit will last and go into eternity. Amen. And it will be work that God views as valuable. So let's talk just a little bit about how the helper helps. Like I said, when I was a kid, I used to think about being on that mountain and being a superhero like a Jedi. Another thought comes into my mind too. I remember up there when the wind would blow, I was like, yes, Holy Spirit. I could feel the power of God. But you know what I found over the years is I rarely feel the Holy Spirit like this mighty wind rushing in my face. It's true. I really feel the Holy Spirit a lot of times. I sense him sometimes in worship. But I don't go by what I feel. I go by what the Word of God says about my life. And I can see the picking up of the Holy Spirit in my daily life. I can see me being able to say or do or perform on levels that I couldn't have done on my own. And it just came out, but I didn't feel the power of God. It felt like me. But yet I see the fruit that was beyond me. Does that make sense? So let me just talk a few ways about how the Holy Spirit, I just want to give you some Bible list of ways that he does do different things. So I'm going to focus on just a couple of them. But I want you to see the value. I want you to see the help of the helper and how he helps us. Number one, he helps us be born again. We cannot become believers without the work of the Holy Spirit. You can go ahead and write these down somewhere. Just something to kind of keep mind of how the Holy Spirit helps us. He helps us be born again. We do not save ourselves. Jesus paid for our salvation. Then the Holy Spirit takes us and he actually makes us a new creation. That's a powerful work of the Holy Spirit. He takes us out of the kingdom of darkness, places us into the kingdom of light. We can't do that. We can't like jump out of darkness into light. The Holy Spirit takes what Jesus has paid for and has made available, and he takes our life and he puts us in the light of God and into the kingdom of God. We become born again. He gives us his new divine nature. All of that is the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We can't give ourselves a new nature. He gives us that new nature, and then he helps us live from that new nature. So the Holy Spirit helps us in being born again. The Holy Spirit helps us with miracles. This is available to us, and healings go with that. Healings and miracles are the two that I was just about to talk about. Those are said in the church because he wants to help us. You know, miracles aren't always healings. Healings are always a miracle, yes, praise God for that. But not all miracles are healings. You understand, there are times the Holy Spirit gets involved in our lives. We've forgotten that he does miracles for us that are even beyond physical healings. But because we forget about that, you think, well, I don't need a healing, so why would I ask the Holy Spirit to get involved? A miracle is something happening that you couldn't have done on your own. Back to the beginning of the message. I remember stories of missionaries and books I remember reading where they only had a certain amount of food, but they were feeding everybody, and like the table of 5,000, the Holy Spirit multiplied the little they had, and they were able to feed everybody for a number of days. That's a miracle. There's been people I know that have their car was out of gas, and the Holy Spirit got them home. Thank you, Jesus. Or got them to a gas station, even better. But we forget to even ask. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible, don't fill your car up with gas, and just believe the Holy Spirit to fill your tank. But what I'm saying is sometimes we forget about the help that's available. You're exhausted at work, and what your business really needs is a miracle. But have we even gone to church and asked for a miracle? Have we even gotten on our knees in our office, even better, and lifted up our hands to the helper and say, Holy Spirit, we need a miracle, because we've limited miracles to only healing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he's the God of miracles, and it happens through the help of the helper. And Jesus brought us the helper to be in close fellowship with the miracle-working part of God. Miracles are not meant to just be once in a while. Not that we have to live on miracles, but if we need one, they're there. I remember my grandma one time, she was just praying They needed a sack. They were so poor. She didn't even have something to put my dad's lunch in as a kid. And she just was at her kitchen sink. And I remember her telling us the story. And she was just crying. And she's like, "Lord, I don't even have something to put my kid's lunch in." And she just called out for help. And she looked out the window and she said there was a paper bag just floating right by her window. And so she went outside, picked up the paper bag, put her kid's lunch in it, and sent him off to school. You know, God cares for what's going on in your life, everybody. Now, yeah, healings as well. We believe God is a God that heals. And we know that we've preached that and we'll continue to preach that. The Holy Spirit also helps us with deliverance. Deliverance is freedom from all oppression of the devil. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10 that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And then because of that, Jesus went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now, oppression of the devil can be demon possession, demon oppression. We get that. But you know, oppression of the devil can also be poverty, can also be economic depression of a city, can also be dysfunction in a family. Are you understanding this? And the help of the Holy Spirit is here to help with those things as well. You know, it's one thing to be socially involved. It's a whole nother level to be socially involved with the help of the Holy Spirit so that the social work we do has fruit that remains and transforms people, not just from the outside, but from the inside out. Sometimes, again, we limit the help of the helper to, oh, he's for church. No, he's for all oppression of the devil, wherever it is. If there's poverty, if there's lack, if there's deception, if there's prejudice and hate, if there's the helper is here to help all oppression of the devil, which means he's in your life to help fix those things, both in your life and through your life around us. But how many times are we accessing? Is there oppression in your business somewhere? Is there oppression of its finance, oppression of its resources? Is there oppression in your family somewhere? Is there oppression in your body? Is there oppression in your grandkids somewhere? Guess what? You don't just have to sit there in anxiety over it. You can access help and might and power and the helper to come deliver and set free from those oppressions and fix those oppressions. You don't just have to sit there as a Christian all in turmoil under here. We have the ability to get involved and do something. Not on our own, but with the help of the helper we do. Provision. The Holy Spirit helps with provision. Can I get an amen on that at least? Okay, that one got a good amen. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here to help produce wealth and resource in your life so that you have all sufficiency in all things for every good work, so that you can advance the kingdom of God, you can take care of your family, and you can take care of other people's families. So it's more than just enough for you to get by. Don't believe to just get by, just by and by. Believe for more than enough. It's very selfish to believe just enough for you and yours. Amen. Let's believe for us and ours and everybody else. Amen. Thank you, all five of you. Awesome. Telling you. But there's an anointing on you from the Holy Spirit to produce great wealth. He's there to help you do those things. God wants his kids to advance in careers and advance in production, because as you advance, you can sow into kingdom. As you build companies, you can hire people and pull them out from depression and unemployment and employ them. And you could be an example to them of how to live and do business well and integrity. God wants his people to be cities on a hill. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit helps us with anointings for our assignments. The Holy Spirit helps us with special strength and speed. Those are things in the Bible that you see where the Holy Spirit came in. And he helped people get, one time Elijah, I think it was Elijah, he outran a chariot. Now, I don't know how many chariots you need to outrun. But the idea of Samson becoming strong physically by the power of the Holy Spirit, or the prophet being fast by the power of the Holy Spirit, you say, well, how does that apply to me? I don't know. If you ever need to outrun a chariot, you know you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you with that. But I kind of look at it more practically. There are times in my life where I feel like I don't have time to get everything done. But you know, the Holy Spirit can speed up my work. The Holy Spirit can help me accomplish a task that should have taken a week and I can get it done. Not because I procrastinated, but the Holy Spirit can help me get it done on time. The Holy Spirit can help me do in a short period of time what should have taken long, where other people took forever. I believe the Holy Spirit can help me run fast. You know, but then I also look at strength, great strength, physical strength. Sometimes there's times in our lives where we feel weak, whether it's even because you're just getting older And sometimes people, they sense like, oh, I'm just getting so tired and I'm getting so weak. But you know what? The same power that came on Samson can come upon you. I don't care if you're 75, 85, 100 years old. Caleb in the Old Testament was strong and mighty in his 80s. And he was saying, give me this mountain. I still believe that we can, by the help of the Spirit, be strong and full of mission and vision no matter what age we are, unless you disengage and you say, I'm just going to grow old. That's up to you. But I believe the might of God, there's too many places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit puts strength in our physical body to do what God has called us to do. Amen. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray beyond our own understanding and limited perspective. That's a lot of help there. To be able to pray bigger than what my mind and my eyes can see. To be bigger than my current situation. There are times when I want to pray, and I'm going to talk about praying in tongues next week, but there are times when I want to pray, and because of the situation I am in, I just want to talk about what's right in front of me, the crisis that's right in front of me. But the Holy Spirit helps me not just focus on the crisis in front of me, but he lifts me up and over to pray beyond and bigger than the crisis that's in front of me. What I love about that is in praying beyond my current need, and I'm praying into the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, included in that is the idea that I'm going to get through this, whatever this is. And so many times, I just want to spend the whole 30 minutes praying about this problem, but truthfully, God has already passed that problem, and he's trying to help get your heart and your faith past that problem because he's already done with it. He's over it, okay? And he's not telling you to pray about this and forgetting about this. What he's saying is, see, I have given into your hand Jericho, so let's get on with it. Let's pray about the next. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Man, the help of the helper, he helps us get so much stronger and bigger and greater in so many ways if we'll just let him come alongside and help us. The Holy Spirit helps us develop the fruit of the Spirit and the character of God in our lives. And I love that because maybe some of you are struggling today where you feel like a failure and you feel like you've blown it. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against my family. I've done this and I've done this. Then reach out for the help of the Holy Spirit. See, the helper is there to help. So many times we think the Spirit leaves us when we fail. But you know what? That's not a whole lot of help when you fail if the helper's out to lunch. Are you understanding? He was given to you to help perfect you in the things of God, to help mature you and raise you and develop you in the things of God, to produce the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the self-control. And self-control is the one that so many guys deal with, and they always want to run away from God when they don't operate in self-control. Well, God's the one that can produce self-control in you. Are you hearing me? Running away from him is not going to solve it. But shame and guilt, same thing Adam and Eve dealt with, and they ran away from the Holy Spirit in the garden, trying to cover themselves. Are you understanding this today? The helper is here to help produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. When you need him the most, cry out to the helper. It's not, God, I'm so embarrassed. God, I'm so ashamed. God, I know you hate me. God, I can't even show my face in church because I feel so bad. And the helper's sitting there saying, come on, I am here to help produce those things in you. I am here to help produce the character of God. I am here to help produce the image of Christ in you. I'm here to help produce the fruit of the Spirit in you. Let me in. You know, that's what the standby is. You remember I said in the beginning, the standby advocate, comforter, counselor, standby. Do you remember that? That was like 30 minutes ago. Help them with their short-term memory, Lord. Cast that spirit of Dory right out of them, in Jesus' name. But that's the standby. A standby is someone that's standing by, thank you, Pastor Kevin, for that, that then you need to invite in. And they're going to be standing by until you invite them in. And the Holy Spirit is there standing by. But he's also standing by because he's by your side and he's not going to leave you when you need him. He's the standby. He's there. Amen. And lastly, the Holy Spirit helps with special wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I really believe for much of my walk with the Lord, this is where I've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit the most. I used to think the power of the Holy Spirit and the help of the helper was like lightning shooting out of my hands. That might be the Jedi thing coming back. But I'm telling you, lightning doesn't shoot out of your hands all the time. Only happens on Thursdays. But I misunderstood what it was going to look like for the power of God to be in my life. And I really have seen so much of the power of God showing up as in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Because I can access through the help of the helper the mind of God. That goes back to the idea of counselor again. The counsel is coming from the Spirit, from the mind of God into my situation. And I go back to you again. Your business, your family, your health situation, whatever it is. Have you sat and let the Holy Spirit minister the wisdom of God to you? Now, how's that wisdom going to come? It could come in many ways. It could come like a word of knowledge. It can come like a word of wisdom just in your... It could come like an idea that pops in your head. It could come by you opening the Bible and just reading in your daily disciplines or whatever, and the Word of God give you the solution or answer you're looking for. It can come by God ordering the steps of the righteous, the Holy Spirit ordering the steps of the righteous, and someone coming in and having a conversation with you that takes you to a place in your head that gives you the answer that you were looking for. All I'm saying is so many times God has given me insight, revelation, knowledge that I knew I did not create on my own. It bubbled up from somewhere, and it was exactly what I needed in that situation. Building the church, dealing with people. But where in your life do we allow that counsel to come? So many times we think, well, I told God about my problem. I'm going to tell you something. There's a big difference between telling God about your problem and letting the counselor counsel you. I told God about it. There's a big difference between telling God about the issue and letting the helper minister the help that you need into you. That doesn't take 30 seconds sometimes. Sometimes you need to sit in the presence of God for a little while and let him minister the strength into you. You'll say, well, God knows where I am, and I need strength. I asked him for strength, and I was on my way out the door. Is that really tapping into the help of the helper? Is that really letting him minister the might of God or the wisdom of God? Have you really talked to him about the situation, letting him talk back to you about it? I remember hearing an old preacher say one time, how come it is that we who know nothing do all the talking to the one who knows everything? Have you ever let the Holy Spirit just talk to you for a little while? Turn the radio off in your car, pray in the Spirit a little bit while you're driving to work about whatever the problem is, and you just sit there in silence and just let the Spirit give you wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation. I've seen this so many times. So many times I remember sharing something with somebody. I've been in a counseling session or something, and I thought I was about to say something. I had something in my, I knew what I was about to say, and I opened my mouth, and something totally different comes out of my mouth, and it was awesome. And in my head, I'm like, man, that was so good. But I look all chill in the counseling chair. You know, I'm all like, I was just thinking. But it just expounded. I could feel it explode while I was talking. Or there'd be times while I was praying or times where I was even preaching, and it was like my mind just took off with me, and it was like something started coming from my spirit. And it was the counsel and the wisdom and the revelation of God. That can happen for you as you raise your kids or as you're looking at the bills or you're trying to figure out a situation at work. The Holy Spirit, you were meant to be deposited into you. That's how it works between you and the Spirit of God. And so many times it's wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Those are the key triggers that I've seen in moving of the Spirit of God in my life. It's not like I said, that's why I used to think it was all this power stuff, but sometimes the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God is really what I need, because that gives me steps, that gives me answers, it gives me solution. It feels very natural, but it's very supernatural. I just want to help you understand that so you can be expecting it, looking for it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 13, verse 16, talking about this exchange of the thoughts and mind of God. For God has unveiled these mysteries and has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring, the profound depths of God, the divine counsels and things far beyond human understanding. So the Holy Spirit is right in there. He's in the mind of God. He's in the counsels of God. For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? No one knows you better than you know you, you see? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, so the Spirit of God knows God's thoughts, God's mind, God's counsel, because he is God. Now, not later, not in the future, now we have, past tense, received not the Spirit of the world, but we've received the Holy Spirit who is from God, so that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God. Isn't that awesome? One of the reasons we receive the Holy Spirit is so that you can see and know the things that are in the mind of God, so that you can think God thoughts about how to raise your kids. You can utilize God-like wisdom and knowledge in how to run your business. You can use God-like wisdom, His thoughts, His ways, as the Holy Spirit counsels them into you as you go to make your way in life. And then the cool part is all that your life then produces is eternally fruitful because you did it with Him. Amen. For who has known the mind and the purposes of the Lord so as to instruct Him? We have the mind of Christ to be guided by His thoughts and purposes. I say through the Holy Spirit. So our challenge today, let the helper help. Where are we doing that? Let the comforter comfort. Let the standby come in. Let the counselor counsel. Brock, would you come up as we close today? Let the counselor counsel. Let the helper help. As much as I want to encourage you of who the Holy Spirit is, it all comes down to, are you tapping into the help of the helper? I went recently to talk to an old pastor, good, wise, you know, just a lot of wisdom. And I was just talking over just some things that were going on in my heart and my life. And he looked at me and he said, Kevin, you want to know what your problem is? Which is always a hard way to start a sentence. No, I actually don't want to know what my problem is. I just came to tell you about it. Really, I just wanted to vent. No, and I said, what? What is it? He said, you haven't let God into those situations, those areas of your heart, those areas of your life. And I got all offended. I was like, excuse me, I am Pastor Kevin. You don't know me. Tell me I didn't let God in. Didn't come all this way to hear that. That's too simple of an answer. Kind of reminds me of the prophet that looked at the guy with leprosy and said, go bathe in the river. And he's like, excuse me? Is that simple? Sometimes you come to church looking for all these grandiose answers for things, but sometimes it's the simplest answer. The reason you're so paranoid right now is because you haven't let God into that situation. You haven't let the Holy Spirit come into that situation. You haven't asked His help. Well, I told Him about it, but you didn't sit and let Him put strength in you. Or you're dealing with sin, or you're dealing with failure and character issues, and you haven't let the Holy Spirit minister His might, minister to help you, teach you the word and your character, get you around Christian brothers. Part of how He's going to help you, you got to let Him do it that way. And maybe one of the ways He's going to produce Christian brothers in your life, Christian character in your life, is by the helper's going to help put you around Christian people. But if every time God's saying, hey, go get around the Christian people, you're like, no, I'm going to stay home and wallow in my sin, then you're still not letting the helper help. Again, we want Him to just do it in the power way, in the Jedi way. And sometimes He comes in with wisdom. And He comes in with understanding. You need to get around Christian brothers and sisters. You see what I'm saying? You need to turn off the garbage on the TV and start watching something that's more positive. You're watching adultery and fornication and alcohol and drugs and violence, and you wonder why your life is full of turmoil. Well, Pastor Kevin, I didn't come here for you to talk to me about my TV. I'm not talking about your TV. I'm talking about letting the helper help. And if that's the way He's telling you to help, I'm just saying. We say we know this, and we say we're doing this. And when that gentleman, that pastor looked at me and said, Kevin, you're not doing what you think you're doing. You're not letting the helper in like you think you're letting the helper in. I had to either say he was wrong or I had to receive that. And I chose to receive it. And now when certain emotions or thoughts or things that would go through my head, I remember exactly what he said, and I just stop and I say, Holy Spirit, I want to let you into that area right now. Talk to me about that area right now. I'm not just going to push through as a good Christian soldier. I am inviting you in, however you want to come in to that area. Guide me, teach me, help me, be my helper. And you know what? Christianity is a whole lot more fun when we do it that way. It's a whole lot more fruitful when we do it that way. It's possible to do it another way, but when you do it that way, it's so much better because it's the way God intended us to do it, with the help of the helper. Would you stand? Let's close in a word of prayer.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.